You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you in the 24 time zones on planet Earth. Welcome to the audio version of The Real Short Box. I'm here with the 2000 Kent State University's Mr. Beefcake, and also the newly crowned 2022 second best looking man of North Hollywood, California. He is the original Donald. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you for such prestigious accolades. It is most appreciated and humbling, sir.
Oh, it's okay, sir. You don't have to humble yourself in front of our prestigious and very brilliant audience. And with us today, a common and usual guest on our audio podcast, the ravishing, the ravenous, the newly crowned 2022 best daddy of Van Nuys, California. He is Raphael. How you doing today, sir?
I don't even live in Van Nuys.
No. I thought you lived there.
He doesn't. No. Shit, you got the wrong one.
I must have got the wrong Raphael then.
He's probably way on the list. Way down there.
Well, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good.
You know, I know you're in the holiday spirit. I know you're a happy man. I know you love this time of year. You love Hanukkah. You love Christmas.
Do you love getting slabs for Christmas? Slabbed comic books?
Love getting slab comics for Christmas?
As long as they have all their pages.
That may be a low blow.
That's a low blow, man.
Okay, he's referencing, I got a few books graded and sent back to me recently that were missing pages, so that stings a little bit, but we're willing to move on.
The good news is they still have some value. That's the good news.
Yes, but you know what needs to happen is there needs to be some little policing going on, if you know what I'm saying. We are talking today about policing CGC, aka all grading companies in the comic book kingdom. We feel that you need a universal way across the land.
Well, I mean, I'm certain that CGC has a guideline that they use in how they grade books. And usually when you talk to a reseller at a con, or they'll give you their spiel on what they believe is the guidelines they follow. I just don't really honestly believe that that's what's going on. There has to be some sort of guidelines that any grader uses to determine a grade so that you get better grades across the board.
Consistency.
Then, somebody comes in for the first time, they're going to grade, and then they're giving you a 9.8 when it's got, two giant ticks, or
he's referencing spine ticks on the comic.
Yeah, I mean, because even talking in the shop when Sean's around or Evan or Julio, if you ask each one of them to look at a book, by the most part, they're pretty close in between a grade and a grade and a half, right? They can look at a book that's a 7, and some are like 6.5, some are 7.5, some are 7.0, but no one will give you the grade by the same term. Someone will say, well, I think it's a 7.0 because it's got some tanning on the back or whatever. Not. Or someone will say, it's a 7.0 because it's got rounded corners. So not everybody grades the book. They may come to the conclusion of kind of what the book grade is, but they're all using a different method in how they get to that conclusion.
If I recall, before CGC, the Overstreet Guide, didn't that give standards on how to grade a book?
Well, they have their Overstreet's grade was based on grading a book in a raw form. Mm-hmm. So when you go to sell it, you could tell a person it's a VG, it's a VG minus, it's a fine. So that's what the Overstreet comes from. And most of the times, in that era, there was no pressing and cleaning, right? So they're giving the book as it sits. That's what you're buying. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, a lot of people are buying books based on what it could be in the future, based on with a press, with a clean, mm-hmm.
Restoration even in some cases.
Removing restoration, mm-hmm. for sure. So I think if there was a strict guidelines, you'd probably see less people upset when they get their books back from CGC. Because also, if they understood it better, they would probably submit less books based on them knowing what they're going to get.
Yeah, let me ask you a question on that. Do you get mad when you see people posting their books and they're like, hey, I just got back, Wildcats number one, and then Youngblood number one, and I got like all like 9/8. Does that make you like stupid angry because they're like grading books that have basically been dollar bin fodder for ages?
Not really, because it just depends on why. Like, so, you know, a lot of guys want high grade books, and I sometimes want, you know, I bought a, recently we were at LA Comic Con, Donald, and I think you were with me when I bought a Detective 400, first man bat, and it was, guy had it for $70, and it was very water damaged, and it looked pretty bad, and, you know, I had it pressed and cleaned, and so I can get it graded. It's probably going to come back at 2.5, and I don't care because it's going to be for my personal collection.
That's right.
Me to have. So when people post their books that are dollar fodder, or it's like, you know, a book that they really liked when they were a kid, it don't matter to me. As long as that's that's the book you wanted to send in.
Bring them joy.
Well, what if they just did it because they were like, this is going to be a spec book?
Well, I mean, you spec all you want. Like, there's guys that are saying don't fall into FOMO, don't buy on the hype. But honestly, to tell you the truth, if people don't have FOMO, if people don't buy the hype, books don't sell. And I'm not saying you should buy. You shouldn't get books pressed to CGC. I just say, you know, you live and die by what you do. So if you buy a bunch of dollar fodder hoping for the spec, and you get them all 9/8. Some people send in books that are lenticulars that are almost always a 9/9. And like, look, it's a 9/9. Yeah, but it's not going to sell for much. If they're okay with doing it and they're spending their money, then, you know, they're the ones that are going to pay the price when they can't move them.
Well, a lot of people were posting that they were angry because those types of books, because people that were unknowledgeable were clogging the system. And they weren't able to get their actual real keys in vintage books back in any regular normal amount of time.
Well, look, I did sports cards. I still do it to this day. And when you were submitted to PSA, at some point, PSA got so bogged down with their sports cards that they basically raised their rates to almost double. Mm-hmm. In a time frame, they actually shut down for like 2 months.
I remember that last year.
So they could catch up. And people were upset, like, all these fucking guys sending in every card they can. Well, it's the market trends. The more cards that they can send in, that they can sell, the market starts to make money, then your cards start to be worth more money. Mm-hmm. Everything you're upset about helps flow the market. So it's, you damn if you do, damn if you don't, right?
Right.
If no one's submitting books to CGC to get them graded, then no one knows how many, you know, 9/8 are in the system. You know, there's no way to have a good census. So sometimes it's good to have books going into the census to get graded so that you can kind of base what your book's worth based on what's on the census.
And the market will let you know.
But then you also pay the price of having to wait longer because the book takes longer because there's so many books being sent in.
Unless you pay for, you know, a quicker...
Yeah, if you really want it back, you pay the higher price and you get it back sooner. If it's a big key that you want to move, you pay the walkthrough.
Yes, right. That's right.
I mean, I know, Donald, you've had a couple books that you've waited a year for that you've still not received.
15 months.
Yeah, and those books, you know, CGC, they made a mistake where they had so many books and so much of backlog. Books are sitting there, and all the books that are going in now are coming back super quick, but they haven't got through their backlog, right?
Yeah.
So they had a bad way of how they're policing their system in there. They're having more people work on books coming in versus what's behind.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, books that took too long hurt them because now they're no longer books they can sell to make money on. But for some people, books they sent in that waited long are coming back and worth more because they had gotten it quicker. They would have sold it for cheaper than it should have been. So it's a benefit and for some people and
right.
and bad for others. It's all part of the process in a sense.
Go ahead.
You know, and I think one reason why you may have wanted to do this topic, I remember there's a controversy that happened a few months ago at a certain convention involving Ultimate Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm. The acetate cover. Acetate gate.
And the controversy was they were sending these books to CGC and they're automatically getting these grades, and it was a lot of dirtiness a lot of dirty things going on, a lot of corruption.
Well, I think that was kind of like also like they weren't really getting automatically given the grades. They were just getting books back sooner. And I'm pretty certain there are a lot of people who submit grade books to get graded at CGC are, you know, well, how can I say it? They have good connections.
Connected, well connected.
So they get books back quicker than others, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone would be like, this is bad. We can't have this. You need to treat everyone the same. But I guarantee you, every person that's saying that, if they are the one that had the in, they wouldn't care. The people that are upset about the favoritism are people that are not in the favoritism.
Yeah, it's a form of hypocrisy, no doubt.
I send my books in. It takes fucking forever to get them. I get it. But if someone told me tomorrow that I could send my books in and have them in a week, I'd go for it.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But some people were arguing about the acetate gate was the fact that they felt the authenticity of these grades, that's what they were questioning. Like, they find it hard to believe. How could there be like, you know, 39 nines of this particular book? You know, things of that nature. You know, you were hearing stories like that. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point, you know.
I mean, but you look at this. You look at it this way. I guess you have three ways of looking at it. Number one, you submit books mm-hmm. that you want to get graded to put in your personal collection. You don't really care how high the grade is other than the fact that you would like to have a higher grade. Number two, you're submitting books to get graded so that you can sell them at a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, you're basically submitting books to preserve the book so that, you know, for the future. You know, I myself look at where I was torn. Do I want to grade my book? Do I want to keep it raw? I like the raw fact that I can open up, look through
touch it. Touch it, smell it, yeah.
But I do buy a lot of books. Like, I go to a con, right? And I bought a Tomb 10, Tomb of Dracula number 10, first appearance of Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I got a really good book at a really good deal, but paid mid-grade, like a 50, 50, 60. And I thought I underpaid for it because, I'm hoping with a nice press to send it in that it's going to come back, you know, at 60, 65, and it's going to be worth a lot more than I paid for it. But the only way to validate that point that I'm trying to go at, I have to get it graded to validate whether my eye was good or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do that with books, is that I'll get a book that the guy says is probably a 3.0. Excuse me. But if I press and clean it, or then I send it in and get graded and it comes back a 4.0, 4.5, then I kind of get a better return for my investment. But the only way to actually see that return, not just to sell, but to see the return, is to know that when it comes back that my eye was good enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's why I get books graded. And I think a lot of people do that same thing. They want to validate whether they saw what they saw.
Yeah. Here's another one is the it's the signature thing. Oh, you know?
Signature series, authentication.
Yeah. Like, I think at one point CBCS did authenticate something that wasn't legit. Mm. And then everybody was like, oh, now you can't trust them at all because they got, you know, and I don't see that as realistic because no matter how good you are, somebody's going to get something over on you,
right.
You know, and that's bound to happen eventually.
Right.
What's their percentage? You know, what's the rate of that going through? Yes. Yeah, that's what I want to look at.
They did say that the person who submitted this book was trying to see how good CBCS was. They wanted to see how good CBCS was.
And forgeries.
And they submitted a book that. Like a rare book that's not typically signed by that person very often, or a person who signs very often. So, you know, if it's Todd McFarlane, if it's Liefeld, usually it's pretty easy to determine. Like if it's right on the money, Stan Lee or so on and so forth. But they use a book that they don't get very often, and they use a person that doesn't really sign very often. So it got through. Or you look at the other factor is they submitted 30 books signed by McFarlane, and the first 25 are legit. The 26th one's not, but it looks so close that it could pass. The only way to truly authenticate a signature is by having a witness a signature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you now have witnesses that don't have to actually be at the con. You can have there's guys who are witnesses for CGC who basically can go to a place and have that person sign the books. They can turn in themselves and say, I was a witness. and I saw that. So you're trusting that that witness is basically being honest, mm-hmm. because there's no main. It's not at a con. It could be at McFarland's house, where this gentleman went to McFarland's house. McFarland signed a bunch of books. He turned them in and said they were legit.
Yeah. But
that guy may not have even gone there.
He could have taken a bribe.
You're just trusting that. Yeah. No, not a bribe. Yeah, true, maybe. But you're just trusting that that CGC witness is going to be 100% honest. Mm-hmm. The only way, and I tell people all the time, if Donald gets a book signed by, let's just say, Jack Kirby, right. He himself saw Jack sign it.
Right.
He submits it. It gets graded by whether it's CBCS or CGC, whatever. And you get a green label CGC. And people say, well, is it legit? Yeah. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a picture of me with that book having Jack Kirby sign it.
Right.
If you're going to sell it, you can take the picture and say, hey, this is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, if you're getting a book signed by Jack Kirby back in those days, those are books you're keeping for yourself.
Exactly. Right.
So you could care less.
Right.
Nowadays, people stand in line, and I'm not keeping myself out of it. I'm part of the same thing. You get in line, you get three or four books signed because you're hoping to sell some of those books
mm-hmm.
so that you can minimize the amount of money you spent that day at the con or other shit.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what makes the Signature Series better for CGC, because it's witnessed by somebody and it goes on. It says the date they signed it. And
pretty gold label.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, that's one good aspect of the Signature Series. But that's then, like, true. You know, they also have, like, the pedigrees and so on and so forth. There's other things that CGCC does. They do prints. They do magazines. I mean, they do a lot.
They do prints now?
They always done prints.
How do they encapsulate those?
They do. They just put it in, a plastic sleeve. It's sealed. It's, like, you know, it's a plastic sleeve that's heat sealed, so you can't get it out. And then but it's something you would hang, you know, on the wall or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
If you can hang it up, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple Stan Lee signed posters that I'd like to get authenticated.
And encapsulated.
Well, let's just say you went to somewhere and you got that authenticated. And mm-hmm. someone says, well, how do we know that's real? Right? That someone comes to your house, you got Stan Lee poster on the wall. And someone says, well, how do we know that's real? I'm telling you it's real. I was there when he signed it. I know it's real.
Right.
And the only person that matters to is you. Because right. you know it's real. Even if it looks off. I had over the weekend, abysmal good friend of ours, Stephen Shea, went to GalaxyCon. And I have this symbiote Spider-Man 3 1/4 inch toy figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's signed by, you know, Mike Zeck and a bunch of other people. And I need two people. I need DeFalco and I need Shooter to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Shooter was going to be at the GalaxyCon. So I gave it to Abysmal so he can get the sign for me. So he took it down and had Shooter sign it. And it looks semi like Shooter's signature, but it also looks like he did it in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abysmal sent me a picture of him signing it. So I know it's real.
Right.
And if someone ever asked me, but it doesn't look like it's like his other stuff they've done in a comic. Want a comic? It's a flat surface, easy to sign. This has got curves to it. It's an awkward way to sign it. He caught him like walking somewhere in a hurry. So it's not perfect.
Right.
But I know it's real, so it's cool to me.
Right.
See, that reminds me of my Jim Lee signatures when I was a kid 30 years ago. I was literally like one of the last people right before he left, and he was rushing his signature. Matter of fact, he was signing like Jim.
He wrote part of it on your face.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Half on the comic, the other on your cheek.
Exactly.
So, you know, so I do think, you know, for us comic book collectors, every collector has a little resell in them. Like everyone says, oh, I'm a collector. Yes. By the most part, I'm a collector. But there's a little resell in you because you have to make the hobby pay for itself. That's a right. little bit, right?
That's right.
We would prefer that there was some method to CGC's madness so that when we send books in, we have a good idea that when it comes back, it's going to be held to a certain standard. Some people believe that if you send 7 Ultimate Fallout 4s and the first 4 are 9/6s, they're going to just give you 9/6s because they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not going to check every book perfectly. They're going to look and go, they're probably all 9/6s. So sometimes I just sent in 6 books and they all came back 9/6. Not one of them is 9/8. I guarantee you they didn't look at them all.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that that's the belief.
That's a good theory, though.
Well, what's interesting is there's supposed to be 3 graders. Supposed to be a head grader and 2 other graders that's supposed to look at each book. Now, I have no idea when they're super busy if all three graders are truly inspecting those books for whatever it is, the 2 minutes or a minute they spend.
I can guarantee you they're not all
this is what I want. This is what I would like to have. The restaurant method of grading. And I'll tell you what I mean.
Break it down. Okay?
You know, 20 years ago, walk into a Taco Bell. You order yourself four tacos. He brings you a tray and hands you tacos because it's behind the scenes. There's a wall. The food's being made in the back of the wall. You don't see it. The new method nowadays, because they want to make sure you prepare it right, is you can see the guy from the counter making the taco. Mm-hmm. So when in CDC standpoint, there should be a room.
A camera
or a window where you can see the books going from step A to step Z.
Where they're making sandwiches with them or something. Yeah.
And you can see an idea of how the book moves throughout the process. Like right now, we submitted a bunch of books to the McFarland signing, right? Mm-hmm. And you ask them to have it signed, and then you also ask them to press the book for you. Because you figure McFarland's, he's touching it, you can put a dent in it,
right.
Fingerprint, whatever.
Exactly.
But no one really knows. And people are going to kill me in the thing, saying, oh, how do you not know? But no one really knows whether they do press, then sign, grade, and release, or to do sign, grade, sign, press, then grade.
That's true.
You're assuming. It is McFarland signs it. It goes to CCS for pressing, then gets graded. But now it's touched a bunch of hands. McFarland touches it. It gets pressed by CCS, and then it goes to a grader, and he touches it.
Right.
Or does it go to the grader? He goes, oh, this is a 9.8. McFarland signs it, and then it goes to CCS to get pressed.
It's true.
It's not written down on anywhere that tells you this is our steps.
It's all secret, it seems.
Right? And it would be nice if that's what you knew. This is how the book goes through the process. If you knew that, I think it'd be so much easier going
transparency. Forward. Basically, what you're asking for is transparency.
Correct. And then you could then all the critics that come on the Instagrams and the Facebooks like and our shows that shit on CGC for books they got back that, you know, the case was cracked or the book was a 9.8, but there's a bunch of spine ticks. At least then I wish that when you scan the QR code or you look at the graders' notes, the graders not hit their name because you don't know their name, but
they're like ID number.
Their ID number is listed there. So when you make a complaint, they can go back to that grader, right? And say, look, man, we've had 7 complaints coming back regarding your grading, and we as CGC reviewed the books that came back, and now we need to retrain you.
Right.
So this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, but the problem is in doing that, they have to admit fault because then they would have to say, oh, well, we'll take the books back. You would think anyway, and we'll regrade them at our cost.
They still do that, though. Send them to you. So if tomorrow a book comes to you and it has the back page is folded and they gave you a 9.8 and you send them a message, you call them and say, hey, my book didn't have this fucking folded page in the back.
I have the pictures to prove it or something like that.
Then they tell you to send the book back to them. And if the book is damaged, they reimburse you the cost of what the book was insured for when you submitted it.
Right.
And they take care of all that. So, if they don't have to tell you what the grader was, but they can go to the grader and says, or at that point, the QC guy and say, how the fuck does this 9.8 book go from being a 9.8 to having a folded page in the back? Who's not paying attention?
Right.
And then they look at the cameras too. You can probably see, okay, you know, Joey, Fred, you messed up that day.
Because a lot of times you send a book in, it was a 9.8, but now it's a 9.2 because of a folded page. And you feel like, they're like, oh, we'll just pay you. The book's worth $300 and $300. Yeah, the book's worth $300 and I can get another for $300. But this might have been the one book that you pulled off the shelf. It's your childhood copy. I don't want to give it back to you because it means something to me. So, yes. I want something done, but I don't necessarily want to lose the book either. So it's a tough situation because sometimes, or let's say you send a book in that's signed by, you know, Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, John Romita, whatever, and then it gets screwed by them, and then like, oh, we'll just reimburse you. Well, I'll never get a book signed by them because they're no longer alive.
Right.
So I don't want to give you the book back because I need because it's something I
sentimental.
Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this book that I took care of and I put it away and I finally trusted this entity, you just screwed up. Now I'm out of a solid book and I don't want to give you the book because then I'm out of the signatures. You know, who loses in the end? You do, regardless.
Yeah.
And that's why there has to be, you know, it's a great topic that Donald came up with. There has to be a way to police the grader.
Yeah.
Who trains the grader and what guidelines is that grader following to get from point A to point C?
So perhaps they should create a board that all three major companies, CGC, CDCS, yeah. and PGX, you know, this universal set standards that we discussed.
Yeah, Comics Code Authority, yeah. but it's the graded code authority.
Right.
And you can
and guess what? You have to be trained. You have to be recertified every year.
The GCA.
Yeah, there you go. And every year you have to be recertified as a grader.
And then you can and this can be like, you know, how they call it, fluid, right?
Right.
Where you can constantly every year you review and then because things change, right? And people always say it. A Silver Age and a Golden Age book aren't graded as harshly as a mm-hmm. modern.
Right.
For obvious reasons. A modern should be perfect when it goes there, right?
Right.
They give a little more leeway as the book gets older.
Right.
The type of paper they have, type paper, then, yeah. right? And, you know, and that's what I'm saying is that
they get a little looser.
Just till recently did CDC start to add the newsstand to the label, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of things that, you know, some are jewelers and so on and so forth. Well, maybe at some point, you know, you have different colors of label. You have the blue that's supposed to be, you know, standard. What is it, like a standard or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, as Silver Age and Golden Age, maybe you use a gold label or camphor because it's essentially, but, you know, Silver Age for silver or so right. the grading, and then you have different graders who grade certain levels of books better. Right. This gentleman here is a modern, it's really simple. Brand new people, I can teach really fast.
You just need another, like a little foil, hollow foil sticker or something that you can put on there, and it can be gold for gold age, silver for silver age, you know,
bronze.
Yeah,
and
you can do that. You can definitely do that.
But you can bring someone in, like say Kevin wanted to be a grader, they bring mm-hmm. Kevin into CGC, and the first 6 months or first year or 2 years he works there, he only can grade
modern
books. Books really quick. Sharp corners, no ticks, missing pages.
I got to earn my way. To do the older vintage books.
So you start working your way. And at some point, the guys who oversee the other guys are the guys who are working on the rare, you know, Amazing Fantasy 15s. Because
right.
when you get to a book, when you get to a Golden Age book that's like an average between a 10 and a 30, you know, marble chipping and so on and so forth, the foxing, you know, creamed off white, those start becoming a lot harder than a modern book mm-hmm. is always going to be white pages.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for the sharp corners, no spine ticks, staples, so on and so forth, right? So I think you could bring a new grader in, and they can have an easier to do certain things.
You imagine there being the GCA, right? And then there's like this black market, like salesmanship, where like they're like. Giving them government kickbacks and shit, and also they can get higher graded books and stuff.
Well, some people think it's kind of already happening already in some respects.
Well, and I do think, I do really think though, is that
you're not wrong.
Yeah, I do think, you know, sometimes when a book comes in, you could have like your regular submission service and then your walkthrough, but then you can also have a service. Where it's going to the elite of the elite,
that
gentleman in the room that's been grading for 50 million years,
right.
and he's gonna look at your Amazing Fantasy 15,
right.
and
he's one of the best.
Each page, one by one,
and
white glove.
He happened to have just gotten a divorce.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing too. Like you know, grading is subjected to the date, how you feel. You know how your eyes are, the light in the room, and so on and so forth.
Took that day, yeah.
We really shouldn't hide Jerry. Hired him, Jerry the blind guy. Nope.
He's on Zoloft right now. So.
But I think if you ask CGC how many books get graded per month, right? Mm-hmm. And they tell you we're grading 100,000 books a month.
Right.
And you say there's, you know, 500 books that pass quality control, the percentage is not really high.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I feel bad for the guy who gets kind of screwed and gets a shitty book back or whatever, or gets a cracked case in the slab or so on and so forth. Because we got him here. We got books back that were cracked and we're pretty upset.
Or have you ever got one with a moth in it?
No.
No, not yet.
That happened to me once years ago.
And you look at that.
Wow, you still have it?
Oh, no, I took it back and they were cool. They freed, you know, for free. They
freed the moth?
Yeah.
So you look at the percentage of books that get graded well and books that don't, I'm certain it's like 80-20. Right, we hear a lot about the books that don't get done right. Like, yes, it should never happen, but how many times have you gone to a, you know, McDonald's and they fucked up your order? you go to that McDonald's every week, and every week your order's spot on, but that one time you get pissed off.
If it's the McDonald's bias,
well, yeah,
they mess it up every time.
So you know, so that's what I'm saying. So I tell our viewers or listeners, you know, I understand you should get back your book done correctly. It should be a quality done for your book. You paid good money. It's a book that you collected, but also taking consideration, it's a human being who's on the other end that's doing the work. And
you could be heavily medicated that day.
It could be an issue.
True.
It could be within shipping. It could be a lot of things that happen. And, you know, it's just be kind, rewind.
There we go. Right.
Yeah, and I guess that's a lesson for it. Does there need to be some type of universal policing of sorts of certification for comic books? We unanimously agree. Yes, there should be, and there should also be you out there in podcast land having a good time. And how else can you have a good time besides visiting these fine websites? You're going to go to halfshotsauce.com and type in coupon code Donald Hiccups for 10% off your order. You can also go to splatteredfrog.com, which is a lovely nano brewery in Texas. And they, with the coupon code SHORTBOX, will give you 20% off your online order. You can get some cool hats, some koozies, some pint glasses, things like that. So check those guys out. And also, I want to make mention that our podcast can be seen all over the internet, heard all over the internet. You can find us on all kinds of podcast platforms.
Spotify,
iHeartRadio, Spreaker,
Stitcher.
Podbean, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. You name it, we are on there. We do a live show almost every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. We have a lot of fun. We give out prizes a lot of times.
On YouTube.
We do rankings. We do You Votes. We do informal and informational type of podcasts as well.
We give away prizes too.
Yep. And thank you for listening. I'm Donald.
Showtime.
And of course, I am Kevin.
And if we don't see you out about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the authenticated and always solid graded comic book shop.
9.8, baby.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.